Blog Talk Radio. Because, Lord God, change sorrow into joy. that they will know that their loved one, though absent from this earthly body, is in your presence, God. So, Father God, I thank you. I lift up church ministries today, that those that are not like you, God, that you will close them down. And those that you want to grow, Lord, you will grow them. Bring children in from the east and the west and the north and the south into your houses of worship, God, that they will get to know the name of Jesus, that they will know that Christmas is about Christ and not about the counterfeit called Satan in the guise of a jolly red elf called Santa. Father God, I'm asking you to show up and show out in houses of worship, that those that try to bring the secular in will know, not today, Satan. That they will say, not today. There is no Santa Claus up in here. Lord God, I'm asking you to change the mindset of your people, that they will bring Christ back into Christmas. But no Christ, no Christmas. Jesus is the reason for this season. Remind your clergy. Remind your people. Teach children the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I was told that there was someone was, they were like having a moment. I guess there's something, a video out there. I haven't seen it, so I can't talk on it. But the word that was spelled out was Satan. And as I explained to the person I was talking to, I said, you realize they were probably thinking they were spelling Santa. Because when you take the letters and put them in a certain order, it spells Satan for Santa. Santa spells Satan. He is the opposite of Christ. You know, so many times, you know, I remember when my children were really, really small, my husband and I fell into that same old Santa Claus trap, you know, every little gift on their phone, Santa. And then one day, God gave me an epiphany, and I was doing something with puzzles and stuff and words. And when I looked at that word, I'm like, wait a minute. Then I took the word Santa and moved the letters around. I'm like, oh, my God. And I got on my knees and I had to ask forgiveness because I was sitting here giving Satan credit for something that he didn't do. God gave us the job. God gave us the resources. God is the one that gave us the opportunity to be able to buy our sons what they wanted and what they needed. Immediately, our kids already knew there was no Santa Claus. And they were like, well, we already knew you bought everything. The oldest one, not the youngest one. But even he realized that it was mom and dad and God. And we read the Christmas story, the story of Christ, not the jolly old elf coming down the chimney. You know, we weren't doing that. So I say, tell your children the truth so that when something, some group of people are calling themselves spelling loving Santa, it comes, and it coming out loving Satan, that folks understand. Look at the word. Look at the word. Remember, what does the devil always do? He always brings in a counterfeit. Be careful of the counterfeit. Don't get caught in the hype family. And so God put that in my heart this morning to speak. Because what is that? Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. It is in our word today. We want to pursue knowledge of the Lord. We don't want to be kept in darkness. So let's get in our word this morning. We are coming from the book of Hosea, chapter 5 and 6. We will also be in 139 Psalms, verses 1 through 6, Proverbs 29:9, and we'll be still in 1 John chapter 5, which is where our title is coming from. And so let's get into this word, because as we go back into the book of Hosea, he is trying his best to give us an understanding of the harlotry of our world, how we forget about God and we go pursuing other things but him. And I mean, I can attest to that. We're all falling short. I've fallen short. You know, I've gone and done more time, spend more time reading a novel than sometimes reading the word, and I'm just being honest. And I have to, wait a minute. This is not good. You know, God's got to come first. You know, we got to set ourselves up to read and study, show ourselves approved. So get your Bibles, family. This is Bible study. And all of our commentary and what the Bible says, life lessons, life questions are coming from Dr. Charles Stanley, who is the author of the commentary of this Bible. And Dr. Stanley has set this Bible up in such a way that you have an Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm, and Proverbs, but by the end of the year, you will have read the entire Bible. And all I can say is thank you, Dr. Stanley. And thank you, God, for showing me this word and giving me the your God said, do it again. Do it again. So we will be in the Life Principles Daily Bible for one more year. This is our, it'll be our third year, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in this Bible. And then I know God has something else planned. We may change the trajectory and how we do the show. I don't know God's plans yet, but I do know that we will be here, God willing, next year in this same Bible. So I'm thanking God for the epiphany. I'm thanking God for showing me what to do. And I'm thanking God for all of you. So let's get in the word. And it says, hear this, O priest. Take heed, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king. For yours is the judgment, because you have been a snare to Mizpah. And when we pray Mizpah, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. That is a Mizpah prayer. Moses' father-in-law spoke it to him as he was departing. No, actually, I'm sorry. Wrong scripture. It was Jacob and his father-in-law. Get me right. You know, this word is so important. And, you know, thanking God for it. And thanking God that he has guided us and leading us and wants us to be better and to understand that his word is true, that he is a God of all creation. He is a God of everything. He is the love of our life. He is the joy, God. And the one thing I know without any doubt in my mind is that God loves his children. He loves a heart. And when we go to, you know, when I say Mizpah, we're going into Genesis chapter 1. And when we go into Genesis chapter 1, just starting at verse 45, it says, so Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. And Jacob said to the brethren, gather stones, and they took stones and made a heap. And they ate there on the heap. Laban called for Dagar, Shadatha, but Jacob called it Gilead. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me this day. Therefore, his name was called the lead, also Mizpah. Because he said, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent one from another. If you afflict my daughters or if you take other wives besides my daughters, although no man is with the sea, God is witness between you and me. And that's why I pray every day, because God is witness between you and me. And God is witness because he said, because you have been a snare to witnesses and a net spread on Tabor. The revolters are deeply involved in slaughter, so I rebuke them all. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled. They do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God. But the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and is in our midst. The spirit of harlotry is in the midst of all nations. And we are not standing up for God. And it says, the pride of Israel testifies to its face. Therefore, Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them, with their flocks and herds. They shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord, but they have begotten pagan children. Come on now. They have begotten pagan children. Now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. Blow the ram's horn in Gabaa, the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud in Bethaven. Look ahead, you, O Benjamin. Look behind you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel, I make known what is sure. The princes of Judah are like those who remove a landmark. I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked by the human precept. Therefore, I will be to Ephraim like a moth, and to the house of Judah like rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jared. Yet he cannot cure you, nor heal you of your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim, and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear them and go away. I will take them away, and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face in their affliction. They will. Are you seeking God today? Are you looking for the Lord today? Because he will take care of you. I'm believing God for some miracles in my life. I'm believing God for some miracles in my children's life. I'm believing God for my church family to prosper. I'm believing God for all of you to prosper. I'm believing God for this planet to be healed. I'm believing God that he is showing up and showing out all over this planet. And the word of God says, come and let us return to the Lord. But he has torn. But he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. The knowledge of the Lord. How do we pursue the knowledge of the Lord? We got to open the book, this book called the Bible. We got to open it up so we can pursue the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as morning, as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth, O Ephraim. What shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. Therefore, I have honed them by the prophets. I have honed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are like light that goes forth. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But like men, they transgress the covenant. There they dealt treacherously with me. Gilead is a city of evildoers and defiled with blood. As bands of robbers lie await for a man, so the company of priests murder on the way to Shechem. Surely they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the harlotry of Ephraim. Israel is defiled also, O Judah. A harvest is appointed for you. In other words, don't think you better than Israel, meaning Judah, which is Judah, tribe of David, Benjamin. Understand, all messed up. It says, and when I return the captives of my people, and as we go to the life lessons for chapter 5, in their affliction they will earnestly seek me. God does not use affliction because he enjoys it. He uses affliction because sometimes that is the only language we understand, the only warning we will heed. Sometimes you got to go through to get through to God. Because when you go through, you open yourself up more to hearing his voice. You open yourself up more to healing and his miracles and wonders. You open yourself up for salvation. Hosea 6:3, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Our highest pursuit in life is to get to know the Lord for who he really is. While we can do much of this on our own, God directs us to pursue him together with other believers who also love him. Come together. Church is for us to come together to pursue God, to gain knowledge, to gain understanding, to love our neighbor, to love God first and foremost above everything, to get to know Jesus and know the name of Jesus. I've had children come to church and have no idea who Jesus is. No idea, because they never were told anything about Jesus. They were like, what's Jesus? You know, what's Christmas about? Santa Claus and getting here. Because nobody ever told him that. Like, we got to teach our children the truth, which is the truth of Jesus Christ. We got to get out of the secular and get into who God is. Get into the faith. Get into the love. Not religious, but I love the Lord. Get our kids off their Easter bunny and let them know what Easter is truly about, the sacrifice of a Savior for all of us, that we may have eternal faith. Hosea 6:6, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Repeatedly in Scripture, the Lord tells us that while he has no desire for half-hearted religious rituals, he greatly desires hearts on fire for him, those who will joyfully love God and love others. Do you love God and do you love others? I always laugh every time I'll say something and then I'll go in and read, and Dr. Stanley says the same thing. That's when I know I'm on the right path. I know I'm speaking what thus says the Lord. I thank God this morning for this word today. I thank God for his grace this morning. I thank God that he is lifting us up. I thank God that he is letting us know letting us be through the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. Our psalm this morning. For the chief musician, a psalm of David. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. But there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. I'm like, wow, God. I want to know more. I want to remember scripture. I want to be able to say, you know, in Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord. I want to know that I should not be leaning on my own understanding. I want to know that in all my ways I should acknowledge you, because that's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. That's what I want to pursue. The knowledge of understanding and being able to set that word in its proper place. And since I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. I want to know him. Let us know us. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Hosea 6 and 3. We've got to know. I want to know the scriptures. I don't want to just read them. I want them to marinate in my spirit. And as I go to the Psalms, how many times have we heard someone say, why would God want to speak to me? I am not a preacher or in full-time Christian service. Why in the world would he want to communicate with me? The truth is we are all saved by grace, Ephesians 2 and 8. We are all washed and sanctified, 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. We are all saints, 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. And we are all children of the living God, John 1 and 12. Fathers just naturally want to speak to their children. Unfortunately, we often see ourselves in an unworthy light. And when we do, we wonder why a great, magnificent God would ever want to speak to us. In that case, God could scream into our ears, but we would not hear him. We must see ourselves as God sees us, that is, as children who need him to speak, who need to listen, who need guidance every day of their lives. If we have a pauper-like image of ourselves, wonder why the God who created the heavens and the earth and engaging meaningful conversations with insignificant us, then communication shuts down to minimal levels at best. It all depends on relationship. We are children of God, and our Father eagerly seeks to speak to us. And I'm going to say that again. We are children of God, and our Father wants to speak with us. Do you hear the words coming out of my mouth? Is what God wants to say. Do you hear me, child? We got to have a Samuel spirit and say, speak, Lord. We want God to speak. I hear. I want to hear what God has to say to me. And he says it every day in his word. All we got to do is listen. Psalm 139 provides us with marvelous insight into the Father's perfect knowledge of us and his abundant love for us just the way we are. He knows how we are made. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our sinful desires and our transgressions are not hidden from him. He knows our innermost hurts, fears, and frustrations, and yet he longs to gain intimacy with us. Jesus has chosen to put his unmatched presence into those scarred earthen vessels. He is at home in these tattered earthly tents. he need not be ill at ease, but instead we need not to be ill at ease, but instead we can relax and enjoy his fellowship, knowing that he died for us while we were yet hopeless sinners. Romans 5:6-8. He has permanently accepted us into his family with all our undesirable baggage. We are his lock, stock, and barrel. We belong to the Most High God. And guess what? He loves you. He loves me. He loves us. You are my sisters and my brothers, and he loves us. Our dad loves us. And when we say it together, my daddy, God, loves me. It hits your spirit. It makes you want to do better because you are loved by the one and only God who created everything. How marvelous and how excellent is his love for us. Proverbs 29:19, a servant will not be corrected by mere words, but though he understands, he will not respond. And I can tell you this, I've seen that in children. Look at you, like who you think you're talking to, like they the adults and you the child. And parents, young parents, they need to get a hold of their babies, because kids should not think that they run the house. I have never in my life thought that I would be a parent, that children run my house. No, you know, I have to remind my grandchildren, you're not the boss in this house. This is my house. And you're not the boss in your house. Your parents are. And, you know, you can get upset because your parents tell you no. Get over it. No, God is a good word, because no is a word that protects. No is a word that helps. No is a word that will get you where you need to go. Sometimes it's no, because God tells us no, yes, and not right now. God makes you wait. Parents need to make their kids wait. Little kids walking around with $200-$300 iPads. And then parents wonder why it got broke. Because they're a child. A child tell me that I couldn't afford to give them the Christmas gift they wanted. I like, what do you want? Well, I want an iPad. I go, oh, okay. You're right. I can't afford to give you the Christmas gift you want. Because we got to teach children boundaries. You got to have a job. Or say a man that does not work does not eat. We got to understand. Children need to understand. You can't get everything you want. Sometimes you got to wait until you get a job and can buy it yourself. So understand, God is in charge of everything. And he loves us. So let's get into our first John word, which is where our title is coming from. But I love this word, and it just does something to my spirit. You know, because God loves us like that. And he wants the best for his children. You know, actually, I'm sorry, our title came from Hosea 6. But, you know, as we talk about knowledge, and as we get into our New Testament word in 1 John 5, so please get your Bibles, go to 1 John 5. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. We talked about that on yesterday. And everyone who loved him, who begot, also loved him, who is begotten of him. By this, we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. But this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. But whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I got to read that again. But whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith overcomes the world. Faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Maybe you don't see the heavens, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. Maybe you have not seen Jesus Christ, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't exist. Maybe you didn't see or eat manna from heaven, but it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Maybe you are not in the upper room as people begin to speak in tongues not of their own language, but understand me that it didn't happen. And as we go, it takes faith for us to read the word and know that this word is true. Thank you, God. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness because the Spirit is truth. Again, what is truth? The Spirit. But there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit. And the Word is who? Jesus Christ. And these three are one. Did you catch that? I'm going to read it one more time. But there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three, one. And there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. And if you think about our makeup, we are what? Water and blood and spirit. Our body is water and blood and spirit. Think that through. You'll catch it. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. But this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness to himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given of his Son. Unbelievers. Now read it again. Verse number 10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar. I'm not a liar. You're not a liar if you believe in Jesus Christ. We are truth tellers. We are of the truth. We are of the light. We are children of God. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. Did you catch that? God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Eternal life comes from the Savior. He who has the Son has life, does not have the Son of God, does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that your life, that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, highlightable. Not my will, not your will, but God's will. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that's why we have to say, for tomorrow, we don't know we're going to be here. We say, God's will, I will be here tomorrow. God's will, I will do this, that, and the other. God's will, I will go to work in the morning. God's will, not my own. He hears us, and we know that. He hears us whatever we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning, a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life. For those who commit sin, not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that we should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin. Bam. It's in the word. And there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the world lies under the sway of the wicked one, God of earth. And he loves it. He loves being able to take your breath away. Because he's an evil, sneaky snake. And we got to understand and call it out. He is a evil, sneaky snake. And it goes on to say, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And I'm going back and read that again. And we know that the Son of God has come. Can you say amen? And has given us standing that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. And when we go back into our word this morning, it says in 1 John 5:5-3, it says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Because understand, you got folks that make up stuff. Just make it up as they go along. You know, a woman shouldn't do this. A woman shouldn't do that. A woman shouldn't sit quietly. A woman should not do this. A woman shouldn't be a preacher. A woman shouldn't be an evangelist. A woman shouldn't be anything. The devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. And this is what John tells us. Only when we try to obey God through our own power do his commandments feel burdensome. When we rely on his Spirit to enable us to do what we can, we find great joy in obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And that's what he told Saul. I believe he did. Saul lost a kingdom because he didn't want to be obedient. And then made excuses. And we make excuses too. Why? We're not obedient to God. Believe me, God sees everything, knows everything about me, about you, about us. And in 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has life. Have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart through faith, forgive you of your sins, and give you an eternal home in heaven. If you have, you have life. If you haven't, you don't. Lord Jesus, come itself alive. Lord Jesus, come into my life. We got to have that in our heart and in our spirit. And then at 1 John 5:20, the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. God helps us to grasp his word, not merely so we can amass an impressive body of religious knowledge, but so that we can come to know love, obey, and enjoy the God of the universe. What a mighty God we serve. And that is my word this morning. And I have to go one more time. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Let's worship God. Keep ourselves from idolatry. Keep ourselves from the counterfeit of this world. Because understand, the enemy is busy and will continue to do so until his time is up. That is our word for this morning, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, today. Good morning. When we kneel before God, ooh, what a word, we can stand anything, anything. Have a warfare Wednesday. Who do you belong to? My people perish due to lack of knowledge, or from lack of knowledge, depending on which Bible you're reading. We don't want to perish because we don't know the Lord. We don't want to perish because we don't know Jesus. So let us remember who we belong to. That is the Most High God. And I just have a prayer from our 365 on this seventh day of December. Wow. Indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And his indescribable gift is our Savior. God, you are the ultimate good gift. You freely pour out your grace, mercy, love, and kindness over your people, we, as we walk in this life. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, is what our word tells us. It says all these amazing attributes that attempt to characterize you are but a glimpse into the greatness of who you are. Who can rightly describe you? Who has seen you with the naked eye? You give the revelation of yourself. Give me revelations of yourself, but even those fall short. My mind can't comprehend the extent of your goodness. Jesus, you are the embodiment of God in flesh and bones poured out. You subjected yourself to man's laws, customs, and limitations. Yet I know that you are so much bigger than man's mind can comprehend. I'm just scratching the surface here right now, Lord. Lead me into greater understanding of your goodness today. May I see a face. May I see of your character in a new way that I may worship you in awe and power. Are you ready today? The question is, what is the best gift you've ever received? And I can say the gift of salvation and the gift of my children and grandchildren. I thank God for the reading of his word, and may you bless the hearers and this reader. And all of you who read this word, may you be blessed and highly favored by the Lord Most High. Again, everything we do, we must do for the Lord. Thank you again, family, for listening in this morning. This is all I have. If there's any callers that would like to speak, now is the time to push the number 1 on your phone, and we have one. Caller 7412, your line is open.
You know, good morning. I'd like to make a comment. What you spoke on teaching the children about Santa and Satan, that's a sign of the end time. I mean, I never realized that Satan is S-A-T-A-N and Santa is S-A-N-T-A. Satan is falsehood and Santa is falsehood. And that's a sign of the end time. We're living in the end time. And when you teach the kids about Santa, you're teaching the kids, you're not teaching the kids the truth, and you're raising them up on a falsehood. And I just learned something by listening to you this morning. And each time I listen, I do learn. And I thank you for having a talk show and being able to hear that. I never heard that before, Satan and Santa.
God is in charge. But I would like to introduce to some and present to others. This is my godmother, Mother Valerie Bell, and I just want to thank her so very much for being a part of this blog. And, you know, she is going to one day be reading to you. We already know it. I'm praying for God, and God is leading her in this direction. So one day you will be hearing her voice reading the word to you, because she is fantastic and she is a powerful, powerful woman of God. So thank you so very much. I've got this humongous smile on my face because my mom is on the phone. So I want to thank you, Mother. Thank you so very much for listening in. And one day when you start to read, which will be in next year, I am excited. So we are moving differently and forward, and I'm thanking God. But God's word, we have to stand on it. And we have to start telling our children the truth. Don't keep giving your children lies and deception. And a lot of it starts with Santa Claus, giving the devil credit for God's miraculous love for us. It's done. No Christmas without Christ. Just a mess. Thank you so much, Mother. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Now is the time to call 213-943-3597 or use your social media and push the talk button, and your line will be open. You know, we have a discussion about this word, but if you get a chance, I haven't looked at it, but I'm going to look at it today. I had someone call me and say, do you know Disney is talking about how much they love Satan? I said, what? And I just saw the video slightly. I didn't get a chance to dig deep into it, but I will. But I know that all it was they were saying they love Santa coming out as Satan. And we already know that it is, Satan is the chief of deception. And we fall for the deception of Christmas, because so many folks don't know Christ, but they know Santa. You ask any child, who's Christ? They're going to look at you sometimes with a blank stare.
My goodness.
And then if you say Jesus, those that are in church know what you're talking about. But if you say Christ, they have it. Some even kids in church look at you funny like, Christ? That's Christ. There's no Christmas without Christ. But if you say Santa Claus, woo, they get all excited. They get excited. Santa Claus is going to bring them a gift. Up on the rooftop, click, click, click. Down through the chimney comes good Saint Nick. We all know that. But if you say away in the manger, a crib or a bed. Folks look at you like, huh, in the manger. Don't know Christ, but know the devil. But we got to get our kids back in order. And don't let anybody tell you, well, I don't want my child to know there ain't no Santa Claus. Then ask them why. Why don't you want your child to know Christ over a counterfeit?
My Lord.
So, put him back. And, you know, and let's understand, Christ has not been taken out of Christmas. He's always been there. Because there is no Christmas without Christ. So don't fall for that foolishness either. But tell your children the truth. Mother, will you pray us out this morning?
Father God, we are thankful. We are thankful for this Bible study. She taught on let us know and pursue the knowledge of God. And if we know and rightly divide the word of truth, we will pursue the knowledge of God. Lord, we just thank you for Pastor Bridget, and we just thank you that you woke us up this day. We thank you for all the people that are listening. We just thank you, Father God, for who you are. You are Abba, Father. And God, I thank you for the protection of Pastor Bridget and all the saints and all your people and people that are not your people that are coming to you, people that are hungry for you. We give you praise and honor and glory. We thank you for this day, for this is the day that you made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And again, may the Lord watch between thee and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray, we lift up, we thank you for listening in. Love you, Mom. Love you, family. Have a great and blessed day. It's a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. I love you all. We all work. And who do we work for? We work for God. Have a great day and be blessed. It's a wrap.
Love you, daughter. Love you, daughter.
Love you, Mom.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.